Hey everyone, thank you so much for taking time to listen to this week's sermon. It's our hope that this resource will grow you in your faith, hope, and love for Jesus. Please help us get the word out by following us on social media and sharing resources just like this. And if today's message has compelled you to take a next step in faith, please let us know by commenting on this post, sending us a personal message, or contacting us at the church office. Praying and believing that God will change you in a powerful way through his word. Blessings.
On this Memorial Day weekend, I'm going to begin with one verse in Psalm 135, verse 13. Your name, O Lord, endures forever. Your fame, O Lord, is known to every generation. Memorial Day. Tomorrow is Memorial Day. One of the reasons why I chose that clip that we saw a little bit earlier is to express what Memorial Day is all about. Unfortunately, though, I believe there are a lot of people that for them, Memorial Day goes no further than a long weekend, a day off from work, the beginning of summer, a cookout with family and friends. But Memorial Day is a day to remember. Memorial Day actually began as Decoration Day way back in 1868. Shortly after the Civil War, where they decorated the graves of fallen soldiers and they sought to remember them and to honor them. And so for us, it's been expanded. Memorial Day is a day to remember those who paid the ultimate price for us to have the freedoms and the privilege that we have to be a part of this great nation. But I want to tell you today that there are many enemies within our own land. I never believed that any outside force could ever destroy the United States of America. That if we were to be destroyed, it would come from within. And today there are many enemies right from within our own land. And they would like for us to forget. They don't want us to remember. They would like for us to forget our founding fathers. They would like for us to forget the Ten Commandments. They would like for us to forget the Constitution. They would like for us to forget the Declaration of Independence. They would like for us to forget the American flag. They would like for us to forget our biblical history of how this nation was built upon prayer and the precepts and principles of the Bible, God's holy word. It is dangerous and foolish for us to forget. If we forget our foundation, if we forget our Constitution, if we forget that we're a sovereign nation with borders that have to be protected, if we forget our national identity, then we will fall. Jesus said, "A house divided against itself cannot stand." This is serious today, folks. We have to seek God. God is going to be the only solution to these problems that we have. Now, having said that, today, I want us to think for a few moments about some of the things that God wants us to remember. And before I get into the heart of this message today, let me just mention a few of these briefly. God wants His commandments. One of the reasons why we're in such the mess that we're in. Families are being destroyed. Our nation is being destroyed. We took prayer and we took God's word out of our schools. We stopped teaching them these principles and precepts to our children. And now we're reaping the results of it. God wants us to remember His commandment. An interesting thing, if you want to do some time this week, reread in Exodus chapter 28, where it talks about the priestly garments that they wore. Aaron and his sons and the priests were to put on all these clothes, the pomegranates and the bells and the tassels. What was it? All their clothing. Their very clothing was a reminder of God's promise. God's presence with them. God's word. God's commandments. And look at this, if you would. Deuteronomy 6. Chapter 6, verses 6 through 9. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. You see, we need to get the Word of God in our hearts. You can come every Sunday and listen to words. But the Word of God is a seed. He wants to plant that seed in our hearts so that it will bear fruit. It will become part of our lives. If you ever come to me for some type of counseling, I'm not going to give you some kind of psychobabble stuff. You can get that from Dr. Phil or somebody. I don't know whoever talked to you. I don't watch any of that stuff. There's all kinds of people trying to give counseling and advice. But I'm going to give you what the Word of God says. I'm going to live according to the Word of God. I'm going to believe the Bible. Are you? These commandments that I give you today are to be on your heart. Impress them on your children. Talk about them. When you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up, tie them as symbols on your hands. Bind them on your forehead. Wear the Word of God. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. So we need to remember God's commandments. I'm going to be talking about the fourth commandment here in a few moments in detail. But we need to remember God's commandments. Secondly, God's miracle power. In Joshua chapter 4, God told the people to go across the Jordan River and he stopped the flow of water. And he said, when you get on the other side, take some stones as a memorial. As a memorial. Pile those stones up there. It was to remind them of God's provision, His miracle power. Look at this. Joshua 4, 6 and 7. We will use these stones to build a memorial. In the future, your children will ask you, what do these stones mean? Then you can tell them, they remind us that the Jordan River stopped flowing when the Ark of the Lord's Covenant went across. These stones will stand as a memorial among the people of Israel forever. I want to ask you today, can you look back in your life? Can you see any stones? Can you see any memorials in your life of where God did something wonderful for you? Can you think of anything where God did something miraculous for you in your life to lead you forward? We need to remember these and not forget these works of God in our lives. Then we need to remember God's promise. After the flood, God gave a memorial, a rainbow. I set my rainbow in the cloud, and it shall be for the sign of the covenant between me and the earth. So I just give you a few of these examples, but I want to spend the rest of our time this morning talking about what I'm going to call God's great memorials. I want to mention three. The first one I'm going to dive into in detail. The last two will be pretty brief. because they pretty much explain themselves. But I want us to look at this first one that I'm going to call rest and worship. God wants us to remember who He is as the Creator and how He created us. God finished His creative work in 6 days, we find out in the book of Genesis chapter 2. And then God rested. God rested from His work, meaning that He ceased. Because God never becomes weary or tired like we do, but He ceased. He rested, in that sense, from His work. Now, it's interesting to me that I was looking at this study that was done a number of years ago, a scientific study where they studied the effects of oxygen and concerning the human body. And what was discovered is that the human body, even in a night's rest, cannot recuperate all of the spent oxygen in a day of activity. And then what they finally came to the conclusion was that after a week of that it is absolutely necessary. We were created in the sense that we need a day of rest to recover. Do you not think that God knew what He was saying when he talked about us needing rest and worship? And so, in the Old Testament, Exodus chapter 20, verses 8 and 9, remember to observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. You have 6 days each week for ordinary work. If we violate this, it's not about a day, it's about the principle of rest and worship. If we violate it, then we're going to get in trouble. That's what we've done, I think, as many times as individuals and as a nation. But here's what I want to get into this morning. Every born-again believer, when someone asks you, why do you go to church on Sunday? Why do you worship on Sunday? Every one of us ought to be able to answer without hesitation why we worship on Sunday and why we do not worship on the Jewish Sabbath, which is Saturday. Why are we not Seventh-day Adventists? Why? When that question comes up, I'm going to try to answer that for you today. The reason is this. The principle has never changed. The principle of rest and worship. But when Jesus came and He died on the cross and He was raised from the dead, that changed. That changed something. It's no longer Saturday. For us, I'm going to tell you right now, make no mistake about it, Saturday has no relevance for us as Christian believers whatsoever. Saturday. Saturday is no different than Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday. No different. It's the Lord's Day in the New Testament. Why does the New Testament call it the Lord's Day? Because that's Resurrection Day. Sunday, the first day of the week, it's Resurrection Day. Paul told the church to lay aside their offerings on the Lord's Day, the first day of the week, which is Sunday. John said that he was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. So look at this. But very early on Sunday morning, the women went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared. They found that the stone had been rolled away from the entrance. So they went in, but they did not find the body of our Lord Jesus Christ. We worship on the Lord's Day, a day of worship, a day of rest. So I want to give you, I want to try to make this as clear as I can today. 4 guiding principles. And these principles here that I want to share with you, they not only apply to what I'm talking about here, about the fourth commandment, they apply apply to a lot of things that we have to deal with. And if we don't apply some of these principles, we could get off in the weeds on something. Dietary laws, or Sabbath day, or whatever it might be. And so what are these principles? What is concealed in the Old Testament is revealed in the New Testament. And the Old Testament talks about shadow of things to come. All of these things in the Old Testament pointed to the fulfillment that was coming in Christ. Now look, there are a lot of Christian groups that would like to relegate the Old Testament as something less than the Word of God. No! The Old Testament is the Word of God. All Scripture is inspired by God. It's just that now we have a fuller revelation with the, and that leads me to the second principle here. We interpret the old in light of the new. Because we have a fuller, more complete revelation in the New Testament when Jesus came. And that and all Scripture is inspired. But now we look, we take the New Testament and we can go back now and see how it all fits together with the Old Testament. Number three, Jesus is the fulfillment of the law and the prophets. So Jesus came and he fulfilled all that was there in the Old Testament. And then the Holy Spirit guides us into all truth. Now, as I talk about this thing about what's the difference between the Jewish Sabbath, which is Saturday, or as the Seventh-day Adventist trying to tell us, you know, we're supposed to worship on Saturday. What's the difference between that and the Lord's Day? Let me give you some New Testament facts. I'm just going to call these facts. You can challenge them if you want to. The New Testament does not repeat or support seventh day Sabbath keeping. It doesn't. And in fact, Jesus intentionally broke the Sabbath. Remember? He and his disciples had put grain on the Sabbath. They knew what they were doing. They knew that there would be opposition from the religious leaders about them breaking the Sabbath. Jesus healed on the Sabbath intentionally. Number three, Sabbath breaking is never listed as a sin in the New Testament. In fact, I would start thinking about this. Okay. James and Hebrew, this is just an interesting side fact. James and Hebrew are the most Jewish books in the New Testament. Neither one of them even mentioned the word Sabbath. They don't even mention it. And these are the two most Jewish books. Now, what happened? What happened from the Old Testament to the coming of Christ and into the New? What happened? This is the fourth thing I want to give you, the Jerusalem Council. Because the church went through this struggle. Hey, for the Gentiles to be a Christian, they were saying, hey, you have to be a Jew first. You have to keep all of the Old Testament law. You have to be circumcised. And this was a great problem in the New Testament church. They had to get all this sorted out. And so the Jerusalem Council in Acts 15, they settled it. They settled the issue between Jewish law and Christian grace. Acts 15, verse 10. Look what they said here. Now therefore, why do you test God by putting a yoke on the neck of the disciples which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? There were 1,500 laws associated with Sabbath keeping. If a bug got on your arm and started to dig into your flesh and sting you, you could not knock it off according to the laws associated with it. They took the principle of rest and worship and they turned it into this yoke of bondage with law keeping. And so, God laid down the principle of rest and worship and it was fulfilled in Jesus. Look at this key verse. Therefore, no one is to act as your judge in regard to food or drink or in respect to a festival or a new moon or a Sabbath day. These things are a mere shadow, a mere shadow of what is to come. But the substance belongs to Christ. I want you to look at this passage in Matthew chapter 12, beginning with verse 8. For the Son of Man is Lord, even of the Sabbath. Now when he had departed from there, he went into their synagogue, and behold, there was a man who had a withered hand. And they asked him, saying, Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath, that they might accuse him? Then he said to them, What man is there among you? Now look at this example here. What man is there among you if he has one sheep, and if it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will not lay hold of it and lift it up? How much more value then is a man than a sheep? Therefore it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath. Some translations use the word ox. You know, if your ox falls into the ditch. And you say, Pastor Mark, man, I would come to the church on Sunday morning a lot more, but my ox keeps falling into the ditch. Well, here's my advice. Fill in the ditch or get rid of the ox. You know, a lot of people taking the example of the ox falling in the ditch and have turned it into a lot of bull. Okay? But let me be really serious here. Now listen to this. See, Sunday morning, you can worship any day of the week. We should worship every day. But God has established Sunday, the first day of the week, the Lord's Day. Because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we come on that day to celebrate Jesus, the resurrection and the life. And I want to tell you what Voltaire said, the famous atheist Voltaire. Listen to this. He said, our only hope of destroying the Christian faith is to destroy the Christian day of worship. Now you might understand how I felt when COVID came and how devilish and satanic it was for them to tell us that we can't get together as God's people and worship in God's house. I'm going to protect that with everything in me. And then look at all the competition today. You wonder why we are where we are as a nation and what's happened to us as a nation. There's business 24/7. 24/7. Sunday is just, even for a lot of Christians, Sunday's no big deal. Just another day. Sports, entertainment. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. And let us not neglect our meeting together, as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of His return is drawing near. I want to just tell you right now that God wants us to have a time of worship, reflection, remembrance. We need one another. We talk about church family. We need fellowship. We need it. Let me move on. There's so much more I guess I could say. Here's another great memorial of God. The redeeming blood. Exodus chapter 12. For I will pass through the land of Egypt on that night and will strike all the firstborn of the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. Now the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be on you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. Now look at this. So this day shall be to you a memorial. And you shall keep it as a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. You shall keep it as a feast by an everlasting ordinance. Now, God is reminding the people, telling the people, remember my delivering power. Remember what I did for you. Remember the blood. The good news of the gospel is this. Romans 5:8. You talk about the love of God and what he did for us. God demonstrates his love for us in this, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Are you glad today for the blood? I'm going to preach the blood until the day I die. I don't understand any church that won't talk about the blood. I don't get it. It doesn't resonate with me. Because I'm redeemed by the blood. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope. We're a people in a place of hope. We have hope in Jesus. Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold, from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. We must never forget the redeeming power of the blood that Jesus shed on the cross. That's the resurrection, the crucifixion, resurrection, ascension of Jesus. His virgin birth. This is what we stand on. We don't compromise on this. The last one I want to mention is the Lord's Supper. And you know, next Sunday morning we're going to celebrate Holy Communion. It's always a time for us to remember. When we have Holy Communion, we look back, we remember what Jesus did for us. We look within. The Bible tells us to examine ourselves. Then we can also look forward in hope, because one day we're going to sit down at the marriage supper of the Lamb. And that's what that represents to us. And he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Likewise, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood." And then Paul wrote to the church, he said, repeated this, that we ought to do this in remembrance, taking the bread and the cup. It's a memorial. Holy Communion is a memorial. It's a remembrance. And so, as I close this message today, I don't want this just to be another Memorial Day holiday. Tomorrow, I want to encourage you. Take some time. Try to remember some of this tomorrow. And take time tomorrow to remember those who gave the ultimate price for our nation, to have this country. Remember those who gave everything. Our founding fathers. All the men and women who gave their lives so that we could be here today and still have some freedoms in this nation. But most of all, take time tomorrow to remember the sacrifice that Jesus made on the cross when he shed his blood for us. Remember that. And never, never forget what he did. We don't even have words to express our gratitude for what it is that God did for us.
Thank you so much for taking time to listen to this week's sermon. It's our hope that this resource will grow you in your faith, hope, and love for Jesus. Please help us get the word out by following us on social media and sharing resources just like this. And if today's message has compelled you to take a next step in faith, please let us know by commenting on this post, sending us a direct message, or contacting us at the church office. We are praying and believing that God will change you in a powerful way this week through his word. Blessings.